In this Friday edition, we share excerpts from a recent Ethnic Media Services panel presentation, How Seniors Are Still Vulnerable to COVID-19. This is the basis of the story of, you might be done with COVID, but COVID is not done with you. So said Denny Chen, Director Attorney with Justice in Aging, and joining Chen were Department of Aging Director Susan DeMarios, Dr. Sarah Taroff, the infectious disease entomologist with Kaiser Permanente, Southern California, and Robert Velasquez, President and CEO of Southern Caregiver Resource Center. Sandy Close, President of Ethnic Media Services, is the host and does the introductions.
I'm Sandy Close, EMS Director, and today's moderator. Our topic is older people and the risks they face from COVID-19. While per capita death rates have fallen, older people still account for an overwhelming share of fatalities. They suffered the highest rate of deaths in the latest Omicron surge. Why is that? And here is a second question. Why are a substantial segment of older adults still not vaccinated or fully boosted in view of their vulnerability? Today, our speakers will discuss these questions and the most effective measures we need to protect older adults as well as family caregivers. Speakers will also discuss how older adults fared in general during the pandemic, particularly older adults of color, and what we can learn from their experience about the way our society views and values older people. Our speakers include Susan DeMarois, our co-host, Director of California Department of Aging, Dr. Sarah Taroff, infectious disease epidemiologist with Kaiser Permanente, Southern California, Denny Chan, Directing Attorney, Justice in Aging, and Roberto Velasquez, President and CEO of the Southern Caregiver Resource Center, which serves San Diego and Imperial Counties. Susan DeMarois.
Thank you very much, Sandy, and to Ethnic Media Services. You are an outstanding partner to the California Department of Aging. To get the word out to communities throughout California about the value of vaccines and boosters and testing to treating for this population. The population of older adults who have been hardest hit from the outset of the pandemic and still to this day, the value of vaccines and boosters. We know today that 84% of adults 65 and above have had their primary series completed. 76% have had at least one booster. But more significantly, we know that 70% of all COVID deaths in California are people 65 and older.
We will go now to Dr. Sarah Taroff, and we so look forward to hearing what you have to tell us about the risks of being immunocompromised.
Thank you. So as stated, I'm an epidemiologist. I'm based in Southern California, Kaiser. We have approximately 4.7 million people just in this region. So since COVID has started, we've done a great deal of work. And over this period, I've had a lot of opportunity to gain insights, learn a lot about the vaccines. We were one of the first very large publications on waning of immunity and was used for the recommendations of booster doses. Since that time, we have continued this work. We've expanded to looking at different variants, which is really important to understand why vaccine effectiveness or how well the vaccine works changes over time. In this paper, it was based in Southern California. We wanted to focus on severe outcomes. So for that, we looked at hospitalizations and emergency department visits. instead of focusing on just infections. And what we found in this paper was that we looked at three doses. At this time, there was no real data on three doses against Omicron. So it was a really important timing to help us understand the third dose against Omicron. What we did see is that against hospitalizations, and this is something that we have seen throughout the pandemic, the vaccine does seem to work better against severe outcomes than against infections. So with three doses, we saw pretty consistent protection against hospitalization. But the important takeaway from this paper was that among the immunocompromised, we did see significant waning of protection. And we also saw that even with three doses, that initial bump that you get, most people get from the third dose, which actually exceeds the protection seen in any of the first two doses. So, you know, your second dose protection starts to go down. And then when you get your third dose, you get a big boost in protection, which is true. As you age, you are more likely to develop immunocompromising conditions. And so proportionally, you do have more older people with immunocompromise. So it is absolutely critical that boosters are administered in these populations. Third dose is actually pretty good in the older population. But now we're on to four doses. And I also think it's important to note that for the immunocompromised population, the recommendation is actually five doses right now. Because when we refer to the primary series, that can be two doses for some people. But for the immunocompromised, it's actually three doses for the primary series. And now there are two boosters that are recommended. So towards a vaccine that is more tailored to Omicron, I think that is an important move. But we're not there yet. And so I think it's really important to emphasize, especially to more vulnerable populations, that you really need to protect yourself with the recommendations that we have currently and with the products that we have. Because as we see now, BA4 and BA5 are coming in. We don't have a lot of data on how well this vaccine protects against those two variants. That's something that I'm currently working on. But until we know more, I think protecting yourself is really important. And I do think when we started to see the increase in the older population was also when we, you know, as a population, there was a decline in use of protective gear, masks. We started to relax a lot of the, you know, public health measures that we had in place to really reduce transmission. Once those things fell away, it was the people that are the most vulnerable that, you know, we began to see an increase in severe outcomes. So I think especially that, you know, masking really isn't happening as it was before. I can't imagine it's going to come back unless there is a big change in hospitalizations. So in that context, I do think vaccines are really important. It's really important to be up to date and to try to keep track of what the current recommendations are.
Thank you, Dr. Tartok. We have a number of questions. From my point of view as an older adult, what does immunocompromised really mean? Should I be worried about it because of my age? Or how do I know if I'm immunocompromised?
It's a great question. Every manuscript you see is going to use a different definition of immunocompromised. So it is really important to understand what, if you are reading manuscripts, what definition they're using. For us, we really did use a fairly, I would say, conservative definition, meaning that this included patients with leukemia, lymphoma, other congenital immunodeficiencies, asplenia, HIV, AIDS, stem cell or solid organ transplantation, and also receipt of immunosuppressive medications, but at a high level. So for example, we included steroid use, but only at certain dosages and for certain periods of time. At least at the time that we ran these analyses, we probably need to rerun them because everything changes so fast. Being older alone, we did look at that. It wasn't part of our publication. we did not see the waning that we saw in the immunocompromised population. This is a population who has difficulty, you know, mounting an immune response. I do think we probably need to look at that again now that we have more time post third dose. But I would say in general, comorbidities are at a higher, you are at higher risk for comorbidities. And I think according to our definition, you would probably know if you had immunocompromise, but I still think, you know, being at older age, it's really important to be up to date.
Thank you. Let's take some of the questions. When would people get the fifth shot? And is it sequenced a certain number of months after the fourth shot?
Yeah, it is. There is a minimum interval after the fourth dose. To be honest, I don't have it in front of me, but I can follow up with you. I can't remember if it's like 3 or 4 months, to be honest. I can follow up.
So the question of how to convince people, this is also a question in the chat, how to convince people when they've had two boosters that they're going to need a third booster and then a fourth booster. You're not talking about five boosters, or are you? I think they're confused over the numbers.
It's just confusing. It's how you define the primary series. So right now there's only two boosters recommended, but some patients need three doses for their primary series. Everyone still has a recommended two boosters above 50. And how do you convince people? Maybe the question means moving forward. If there are more boosters down the line, how do we do this? I think it's a great question. I've studied vaccines my entire professional career. And honestly, sometimes I'm scared to get a vaccine. And I vaccinate my kids. My 9-year-old daughter got her booster. And I worry every time. Another thing I do study, though, is long COVID. And every time I feel hesitant, I just think I'm willing to take the risk with the vaccine, which are actually very minimal, compared to the risks of long-term, hard to describe, hard to treat, pretty much impossible to treat, you know, long-term, fairly, you know, at times very debilitating symptoms. It's not just that you may get a respiratory infection. It's that you may have long-term impacts that the healthcare industry may not be able to help resolve. And we don't see that with vaccines. We don't see long-term adverse events. So that's how I think about it.
This is a question about Paxlovid and the effort to make sure that Paxlovid as a therapy that reduces your risk if you catch your symptoms early enough may be only being distributed to those with underlying conditions. Do older adults have adequate access to Paxlovid across the state? And what are your recommendations about Paxlovid?
Yeah, we just published a fairly high profile study in the CDC MMWR, which was conducted in collaboration with the CDC on Paxlovid, kind of from a safety perspective. So we looked at hospitalizations and severe outcomes after completion of treatment. We found it was very, very rare. We did not find, you know, there's a lot of concern about rebound. What happens is your symptoms are, you know, suppressed with the treatment. It's an antiviral treatment. And then at the end of your course of treatment, some people actually get the symptoms back. And there are some cases where a person will be negative, test negative for COVID, and then at the completion of treatment, they will test positive again. This is something that has been seen with other antivirals. So I don't think it's a huge surprise, but I have been on some fairly high-level CDC calls. I think the benefit of, you know, preventing severe outcomes, it does seem to work. And at least in our study, we did not find concerning severe outcomes after Paxlovid treatment. It's possible that symptoms, you know, do come back. We are doing a more thorough follow-up study. From the data that are available at this time, it does look like Paxlovid, it remains the recommendation, and there doesn't seem to be very, you know, concerning safety outcomes.
You're listening to the Friday edition. We're talking about seniors and the need to continue boosters with COVID-19. Vaccines wane in effectiveness, so calls for the boosters.
So our next speaker is Denny Chan. He is the directing attorney for Justice in Aging and a real advocate for issues concerning older adults of color. Thank you, Mr. Chan.
Great. Thank you, Sandy. I know for so many of us, COVID has been a long, long story, and it is really easy to get fatigue and not want to pay attention to it. So that's why briefings like this, to keep the pressure on and to make sure it's still in the headlines, is really, really important, particularly for the communities of color. I'm the directing attorney for equity advocacy here at Justice in Aging. Like many of you, in the past 2 years, I have been involved in many conversations with older adults in my life, in my family, about whether, when, how to get vaccinated and boosted, and how to protect yourself from COVID-19. In my professional capacity, I've had the privilege to serve on California's Community Vaccine Advisory Committee. My goal today for our limited time together and my limited time with my remarks is to really use data to paint a story that COVID-19 is far from over. But the story of COVID in this country has always intimately involved older adults. We know because of aging and the process of aging, older adults tend to experience higher hospitalization and death rates. And we also know that there's been a disproportionate impact of COVID-19 in congregate living settings. Point out and to really call attention to the story of COVID-19 with respect to older adults of color. National CMS data as of late last year shows higher hospitalization rates for Black, Hispanic, American Indian, and Alaskan Native older adults. And we can't just chalk that up to class. When you take a look at the data more closely, you will see that even if you compare Medicaid eligible versus Medicaid eligible, or Medicare eligible and Medicare eligible, the rates are higher in those communities of color in terms of the risk of hospitalization. Very specific California data that shows that there are higher rates of infection and there are higher rates of spread when there are higher proportions of residents of color in nursing facilities. And that's local data here in the state of California. The relationship of COVID-19 with older adults, and in particular older adults of color, has spanned this entire pandemic. Specifically on the question of how older adults have fared, we have data. So Latinos 65 to 79 account for only less than 22% of California's population. But of the COVID deaths account for almost 45%. So that's sort of the context that we are continuing to fight this pandemic in. And unfortunately, there are very clear signs that the virus is not done with us. So based on recent state data, the number of people hospitalized from COVID-19 continues to rise, although to Dr. Tartoff's point earlier, we haven't quite seen that same spike, but the number is going up. And in fact, the number is as high as it was in early March of this year. We have over 3,100 people in the state of California who are hospitalized from COVID-19, and also a growing test positivity rate. So this is the rate at which those tests come back positive. And we can generally assume that there's an undercount because not everyone is getting tested through sort of the means that allow for the accounting systems. But the test positivity rate in the state is 13.2%, and that's already 1.5% up from last week. So we see those numbers continuing to climb, perhaps not spike, but it is very clear that we are still in a pandemic, even if your outside surroundings, people gathering, your daily life might suggest that the pandemic may be over. I also wanted to point out some signs of progress, because I think it's really important to talk about the strides we've made in the state and why this sets us up perfectly for people to go get vaccinated. So at the very beginning, if you think back to December 2020, when we were all beginning this vaccination adventure together, we didn't have a whole lot of things set up. But now we have systems that are set up for older adults to get vaccinated and people to get vaccinated relatively easily. There are ways for people to get vaccinated at home. Those weren't always clear or easily available at the beginning of the pandemic. Also, there are ways to sign up for a vaccine if you don't have the internet or if you don't have a cell phone. Again, all those things didn't always exist when we first started this work. We also have plenty of vaccine. There were times where we had a vaccine shortage or scarcity and had made hard decisions about who would get what. And as Dr. Tartoff noted earlier, vaccines are being approved for more and more age groups. So we're getting easier access, and there's a potential for more specific vaccines targeting variants along the way, perhaps coming down the pike. We also know that vaccines work, and this is based on the state data that shows that as of May of just last month, unvaccinated people are 5 times more likely to get COVID, 7 times more likely to be hospitalized, and 10 times more likely to die than those who have been boosted. We also know, based on numbers that Susan said at the very beginning, that older Californians are welcoming vaccines and boosters. So 76% of older Californians 65 and up have gotten at least one booster. But I do want to end with a call to action that I hope all of you can help us spread. The data shows that there are still many out there who would benefit from vaccines and boosters. 76% is high, but tends to mask regional differences and lower rates in specific areas of the state. We've also learned throughout this course of the pandemic that we can't have a one-size-fits-all approach to getting people vaccinated. It might take multiple bites at the apple, different kinds of bites at the apple, but this is long-term work. And for the safety of all the older adults in our state, it needs to be work that we remain committed to. And so we also want to make sure that we have more public data, specifically on the second booster. That is data that we don't necessarily have a lot of good information around. And so there's a role for our government to be transparent and help us really continue to paint the story about what COVID looks like in the state of California for older adults, and specifically for older adults of color. But with that, I will stop because I think I'm probably at time, and look forward to your questions in the conversation. Thank you.
As a longtime advocate for older adults, what are your reflections about how we as a culture or society in California value older adults?
You know, I had the signs of hope and progress because I wanted to be optimistic. What we could spend a lot of time talking about is the ways in which COVID-19 has demonstrated that our country continues to be, and our state, unfortunately, continues to be experiencing racist and ageist policies and practices. It's not that long ago, for example, that when the state initially drafted crisis standards of care, which are rationing documents, essentially how would you give care if you had to choose between patient A and patient B, that initial drafts of those documents did allow providers to discriminate on the basis of age. And, you know, even among my own personal circles, I know a lot of people in my age group think that COVID is not something to worry about unless you're older. So I think there's really a lot that COVID has taught us, and rather really reminded us about how we value human life and how we make perhaps different value assignments or perceptions based on how old someone might be, their perceived vulnerabilities, how much they have to quote unquote offer our society. But all of that, you know, is really, I think, important to think about in the context of the progress that we've made. Because we really have put together now systems that I think are much more agile and able to respond to the different needs that older adults have. You know, one of the things I was trying to say earlier in my comments was there's no one size fits all approach. And I think there's no one size fits all approach that works for all older adults. There's no one size fits all approach that works for all Californians. And so we really need lots of different strategies to equitably make sure that all older Californians can age peacefully without having to worry about COVID-19.
And now we go to our third speaker, Roberto Velazquez, who is president and CEO of the Southern Caregiver Resource Center that has clients across the Imperial County and San Diego County and has been at the forefront of elder issues for over 30 years.
Just before I got on this call, I went to our local sandiegocounty.gov website and looked up some data on COVID-19 just to see how we kind of stand with the whole state. And it was interesting to see, and this is data that was updated as of the 27th of June. And it showed that there's been approximately over 5,000 deaths of COVID-19 in San Diego County. And when I looked up deaths by age, they represented 86%, the population 60 plus represented 86% of all the deaths in San Diego County, according to the website. Looking at that data, it just kind of didn't shock me, but at the same time brought me back to reality of how important it is to get people vaccinated.
Let's start with Susan.
You know, I think the main message is, you know, even with the new vaccines approved for young children, there's sort of a sense of, aha, you know, the final, everybody's okay now. I think for older adults, there are still precautions and protections that are needed so that older adults can be full participants in their lives and their communities. That would be my message, that, you know, vaccines and boosters allow full participation in life and community living.
Dr. Tartoff.
Yeah, I would follow that with just the idea, since this is what I study, of waning. So I know people feel like when they have three doses, they're at this three dose level. But, you know, if you look at the graphics that I show, over time, you're going lower, lower, lower. So really after, say, 6 months after a vaccination, you're down to like the protection you'd have to one or maybe none. So even though you have three doses, it's not the same farther out. And that's what drives the booster recommendation. Those are the data that inform the need for boosters. So even though you may feel like you have a large number of doses, if they're not providing the same protection that they did when you first got them. And that's why we need additional doses. It does feel like a lot. You don't get the same protection over time.
I'm glad you introduced the word waning, because I haven't seen that in a headline, and it's an important word. Thank you. Denny Chan.
Sure. So you might be done with COVID, but COVID is not done with you. In particular, the risk for communities of color, we have seen that elevated throughout the pandemic. So make sure, no matter who you are, to get your vaccines and your boosters.
Mr. Velazquez.
Thank you. You know, for me, and looking at it from a family caregiver standpoint, from that population that we serve, family caregivers usually don't want help for themselves. You know, if you offer them respite, oh, I don't need help, just my mom needs help. So you have to get them to think about they're helping their loved one, even though they're helping themselves. So I would, you know, think of something to say from the standpoint of, for the safety of your family member that you care for, make sure that they're vaccinated and boosted, and so are you. Because, you know, then you're protecting them. And in doing so, you're protecting yourself.
This has been the Friday edition. The Ethnic Media Services panel discussion was held. This Ethnic Media Services panel discussion was held on July the 7th, 2022. Production and editing has been done by Joseph Roscoe, KIDE lead producer. For KIDE, we thank you for listening.